Log Talk Radio.
Some of the guests on this podcast will express their viewpoints based on their own research, and those views aren't necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio, Cursed Net, Breakthrough Radio, or its affiliates. This podcast will also be available on iTunes under the keyword Cursed Net.
Welcome back, everyone, to another show of the Cursed Net Breakthrough Radio. I am your host tonight, Greg Messina. It is May 31st, 2010, and we are back with another testimony from someone who has his own ministry now and has been through a lot pertaining to the occult, the paranormal, and he's going to be speaking about that. His name is Richard Grund, and we have Joe Jordan back with us, of course, and he's going to be doing an intro for us to Richard. Happy Memorial Day to everyone out there. I just want to thank the military services that that have done their job, their duty, as as people who have gone out there and done what they could to protect our country, and that is an amazing thing. I'm so thankful for that, and I just praise God for bringing others through what they needed to go through in order to be strong on the front lines. So just a little update about Byron. He is doing very well. Praise God for the work that he's doing in his life. And he is currently in the hospital still, but he should be getting out in the next week or so. And of course, he did have cancer of the mouth. And, he went through an operation that went very smoothly. And, that is a great thing because, we are looking forward to him coming back full throttle and, coming back on the airwaves and just doing what he does best is praising God and through speaking the word and letting people know the truth of, what this phenomenon is about. And what we can do to combat that evil by turning to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for our problems. And I really thank the Lord for this opportunity to be able to host at times that, that we need people on here. We need people on to tell their testimonies, and that's not going to stop us. Satan's not going to stop us from doing that. I am grateful for that and praise God for giving me that strength to come on here and to cover for Byron. With that, I'm just going to bring this over to Joe Jordan. Joe, how are you today?
Feeling very good, Greg, and I'm looking forward to this show, and thanks for having me back on to help host with you. I told you last time we talked that I didn't really feel like I was called to be a host on a radio show, but actually I'm beginning to enjoy it. But I also look forward to Byron coming back and, being a familiar voice on the air for us. And I look forward to that.
Yes.
Also, being that this is Memorial Day, and it's a day we do celebrate our fallen heroes of those that have gone out to protect this wonderful country. It's fitting that I also bring up that there's two wars going on. There's wars of this physical world, and there's the spiritual war that exists around us. The war that's where the prize is our souls themselves. And it's an unseen war by most. There are those like us who have had an opportunity to actually be participants in this spiritual war. And then there are those that we work with out there that are casualties of this, what I call cosmic war. And that's the title of the talk I'll be doing in Roswell. And it's people that have gotten caught up in this deception of the enemy, the lies of the enemy, and become casualties because of it. And the one thing that we do on this show that we've been doing for going on a couple of years now is having testimony evidence of those who are no longer casualties, but those who have come out of this spiritual warfare in victory through the name and authority of Jesus Christ. And we have another testimony like that tonight. And Richard is a powerful testimony. Richard's not a new believer and not a new testimony, but he is to us. Richard has known about our ministry that we do for a few years now, and he recently contacted me by email and felt that it was time to make himself known and let us know that he was there and hopefully share his testimony through the shows on our website, which I am so proud to have him come on and do this, because he sent a link to his website that had a show on there that he spoke on before. And when I listened to that, I was like, oh my, this is one powerful testimony. This is one that definitely needs to be shared in more avenues than just that one show that he was on and has on his site. And what could be a more fitting place than here on the Curse of Net series that we do. And I'd like to welcome Richard tonight. And Richard, give a little background on yourself, and then we'll start with the questions and get you guided in so we can get as much of your story out there for these listeners. Because what we want to show them is what you've been through and how it affected you being deceived by the enemy, and then how you became victorious.
Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, Greg, and thank you, Joe, for making this connection. Actually, the Lord made the connection, so we'll just thank him for that. But I'm proud to be here on Memorial Day, because as you said, this is the day where we celebrate those that get out on the front lines and fight for us. And sometimes we forget that there are people out there on the front lines, and like myself and the guys that work with me, and we've started to call ourselves God's sheepdogs. We get out there to protect the flock, and we're willing to take on the wolves. But it used to be that I was one of the deceived, grew up into it. I was born and raised in New York City, an Italian, Catholic by birth. It wasn't something you made a religious decision about, but I grew up with what I thought were gifts from God. And that was the first deception, that if they were in me and I was a good person, then these gifts of ESP and astral projection and all the things I did in my life, well, it must be okay. I'm a good person and God gave them to me, so these gifts must be good. And it took 32 years of my life, almost losing my family and almost losing my soul, for God to open my eyes and show me that it was all a lie. It was all a deception. And there are a lot of people out there that are fooled. They think, well, if they're good people and what they're doing is for good, God's okay with it. And that's not the truth. The truth is, his word is pretty clear. But, I started into the what we would call the occult when I was very, 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 very young. My sister told me that she saw me in the crib playing with things, and she knew I was seeing something she could not see. My first encounter with a spirit was when I was 4 years old. And then the fascination with the supernatural and witchcraft grew from there.
Well, you know, Richard, I have, that's interesting that you mentioned you started very young, because you and I've read through your website a little bit and heard the past show of yours, and it's amazing the similarities, I mean, in terms of the occult and getting into that pretty young, because I myself was dabbling with the occult before I came to the Lord, and nothing really came of it. And though there is supernatural abilities and power, what I have found myself is that there is no power greater than the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And I'm sure you've come to that conclusion yourself just by listening to your testimony. I can just see that the Lord has certainly worked your life in amazing ways. Joe, I'm sorry, were you about to say something?
Yeah, Richard, I know you're going to take a progressive lean to your story and take it from childhood and working up. But before you move on from childhood, in the research that I've done with hundreds of cases of people that have become involved in this stuff, we found we found answers to questions that the secular realm is still asking. Why does this experience or these experiences happen to certain people? And we found three answers that we can look at. And the one was people actually ask for the experience. The
right.
Second is people unknowingly opened up themselves to the adaptation. And then the third one is that it happened because of back when they were children, because somebody else opened up. And being that it happened at such a young age, I would have to tend to think that there was something else that was and that would
okay, Joe, it sounded like you were breaking up a little bit there. I don't know, Richard, did you grasp that?
I heard most of what he said. I'm not sure. I heard the categories of people that he mentioned, and I fit into probably all three of them. A, my bondage was passed down ancestrally. B, there was a fascination, but my fascination also came from the fact that I came from a broken family. My father walked out when I was six, and I had no self-worth, and I was looking for something to give me self-worth, and of course the devil was quick to make that offer to me. Of course, I didn't realize that was the devil, but so I kind of fit into all those categories, and he's quick to see an opening. He's a great used car salesman. He's, you know, great snake oil salesman. And the minute he sees an opening, he makes a sale.
Okay.
I guess I'm here. I guess the question that I was looking for an answer here would be, how much do you remember about the way you were raised and what your family was like? Because if it's generational, that something this is something you've picked up, then can you remember anything that you were told about connections your parents might have had?
My mother, my father walked out when I was six. I really don't know much about him and his family lineage. I do know there was some stuff there, but not a lot. But from my maternal side, my mother did not embrace any of this, but my grandmother, who was a sweet little Italian woman, she's barely 5 feet tall, another person who thought that she had special gifts from God, she talked about angels and she talked about fairies, but when I say fairies, you know, it's not the little Disney kind of thing. In Old English and in Europe, fairies are like angels, like spirits that fly around. And so she talked about that. So the supernatural was very natural for me growing up. It was expected. It wasn't something that I was afraid of. So, yeah, you're right. There was kind of a subtle indoctrination into it.
So that would show the connection that enabled you to be open to the experience.
Correct.
And this is something I've talked about on a number of shows, you know, that it's so very important on how you raise your children. You know, that whether you're a single parent or whether both parents are there, whoever's supposed to be that spiritual covering over the family, you know, it's got to have that proper spiritual covering to protect those children. This is why it's so important for parents to understand they can't be dabbling in things. They've got to have a true relationship with Jesus Christ, protect those children. And this is probably something you've learned, you know, coming to the truth, you know, because I know you have children also and how important it is to be able to share God's word to your children.
Well, you know, like I said, I was raised in a very staunch Catholic family. My grandmother went to church every day. You know, we did the C&E Christmas and Easter thing. But the other side of the story was never told. We knew that there was a devil. We knew that Jesus was the Son of God, even though we weren't born again. But there was that other side wasn't told. We weren't warned about that because coming from an Italian lineage, Italians, Mediterranean people, are very mystical people. That's a normal part of their life. So without the power of the Word and without knowing the Word, it's much easier to be deceived.
Sure. Okay, take us into the next part of your life.
Well, as I said, it started with a child, and my encounters went on until I was about 11 or 12. And at that point, like I said, I came from a broken family. My mother didn't remarry until I was 12. And I was looking for something to make me feel special. I was looking for something to fill that space in my life. and I noticed that I had what I thought were these, quote, gifts from God, and I set out to enhance them. I went looking for books. I went looking for people to teach me what I wanted to know. Around the age of 12, I had an encounter with a demonic entity. Of course, I thought it was the devil. It probably wasn't. And it scared me. And I kind of ran from it and put everything away and hid from it until I was in my 1980s. I would have been 24. My wife and I had just gotten married. She immediately got pregnant with twins, and we lost the twin boys full term. She gave birth to stillborn twin boys, which set me into an emotional and spiritual spiral, which just opened the doors to the demonic to me wide open, and I went for it whole hog. I mean, I was sleeping in a bed full of crystals. I was, I could see demons the way I saw people. I was doing astral projection, which is separating your soul from your body and moving in the spirit realm. I mean, I was slowly sliding off to hell, still thinking I was a good person and all of this was a gift from God.
Well, you were still in New York at this time?
I was still in New York. At that point, I was a working actor. I was also a celebrity bodyguard. And, you know, I was in an atmosphere where all my familiar spirits were. And in case anybody doesn't know what familiar spirits are, we get the word family from that word familiar. And they are spirits that are familiar to you, that either have been passed on to you or assigned to you. Like I said, we lost the twins, my wife got pregnant again a year later, and we had my oldest son, Jesse. But by that point, I was slowly sliding away. I was sliding off into the darkness till, it was about 1985. I walked out of my family. I just said, that's it. Don't want to be married. I'm going on to fame and fortune. And the way I describe it and the way it was described to me at that point, I was almost completely possessed. My soul was almost gone at that point, but God had a plan. And, you know, the one great thing I tell everybody who's caught up in something is God will make a way where there is no way. And so when I broke my marriage and told my wife to leave, and she moved to Florida where her brother was the minister of music at a Pentecostal church in Tallahassee, Florida. And, you know, when I say God orchestrated a series of moves, my brother-in-law had actually been the music minister at a huge church in Arizona. And he moved to Tallahassee shortly before this happened. And, you know, the devil had a plan for me, but God had a bigger plan. And he just orchestrated all these paths to cross to where I met a man in Tallahassee who was the pastor of a church there, used to be. He's retired now. His name is Bob Shelley. He's my mentor and spiritual father, who moved in deliverance ministry and a very powerful man. And you know what? He loved me into the kingdom. He didn't judge me. He didn't condemn me. But he did tell my wife after my first visit to see my sons, even though we were separated, he looked at my wife and said, your husband's involved in the occult, isn't he? And my wife kind of laughed and told him jokingly all the things that I was doing. And he looked at her very sternly and said, your husband's doing everything he tells you and more. He said he is completely enveloped in darkness. But he never confronted me, never got in my face. And a lot of well-meaning Christians did. They got in my face, told me I was going to hell, and all they did was feed the demonic inside of me. But sure. He loved me into the kingdom. And so finally in October of 1988, he didn't pull any punches, and he never did. But he sat me down, listened to something I had to tell him, and then finally lowered the boom on me. And all he had to tell me is this simple thing. He said, you know, you say you're not serving the devil, but I say you are, because you're not serving God. And I was at the moment of salvation, and the scales fell off my eyes, and then it was that weekend, it was October 9th, 1988, that I got saved. Gave my heart to the Lord, and I got radically saved. As sold out as I was for the old Richard, I was sold out for the kingdom. I was sold out for the Lord. I knew that I was going to hell. I knew that I'd given away my family. He gave me back my family, plus another son that we had had during the separation. And I've been serving him on the front lines ever since to give back what he's done for me.
You know, I can almost give the same testimony. As I guess when we've been so deceived, we become so much on fire for the Lord when we come to the truth. You know, and it just makes for that much more powerful testimony. And
well,
I've heard that with so many.
Yeah, for me, it's he who's been forgiven much loves much, and to whom much is given, much is required. Yeah, I do what I do out of love. You know, I do everything he's asked me to do over these last 22 years. I've been on the front lines helping people that were like me. And, you know, the Catholic Church, we call them exorcisms, and the Protestant Church, we call them deliverances. And in 22 years, I've done close to 300 of them, just looking for people that were like me that the Lord would lead me to so that I could help plunder the devil's kingdom and keep them from going to hell.
You know, I heard two key things out of your testimony there, talking about this pastor in Tallahassee that was there for you. One, he listened.
Yeah.
And so many of the testimonies that we've worked with over the years, you know, they've told us some horrific stories about trying to talk to pastors in churches and share with what they've been through and how they've been put away, you know, and let down by so many in the church. But you had a pastor that actually would sit and listen with love. And that's a key point that I want people to understand, that people that are under this demonic oppression and deception, they want so much to convert with what they've been shown. And the way you work with them is just let them speak. Let them speak everything they know completely. And then when they're finished, the only thing left to do is share with them the truth. Because they're talked out. This is how you talk to the speaker. You don't get combative with them. You don't take them on head to head right at the front. Let them speak all that they get, all the peace they have. Let them give all the information they want to share with you. And then when they're done, just go, you know, that's really good, but let me share with you something. And that's when they're right ready. And I see that's exactly what's happened, you know, in that situation. But it's good to hear that there was a pastor there for you, you know, and I just hope that at least some are listening to this show, that they can understand that there's a lot of people out there that need to be helped, you know, and they have to be helped in love.
You know, I get those calls. People hear my testimony, they find me on the internet, and they finally find somebody willing to listen to them and just love on them. And they tell me the horror stories about, hey, being rejected or being told it's nonsense, it really isn't happening to them. You know, I'll get the emails from people all over the United States, can you come help me? Can you come help my son? I have a family that flew myself and a ministry associate up to Rochester, New York, because they couldn't find anybody to help their son, and we went and did that. I've got people waiting now in the New England area that we're trying to raise the money to go help because they can't find anybody willing to help them. For two reasons. One is there's no, a lack of compassion, and two, people are afraid, and I get that. They don't want to get involved in something that they understand will be a repercussion for.
Sure. And that they may not be educated very much on, you know, and that's something we've been pushing for over the past years is, you know, if you can't share this with your congregation, what's happening out there, let us share it for you. You know, because we have been there. We've been in those trenches. We're working with these people. And, you know, the church needs to be aware of this deception that's out there. It's the deception of the day. You know, this whole New Age UFO alien thing. It's the guys that Satan's come in this time, you know, that is one that's really deceiving people. And we've dealt with it. We've worked with it. And, you know, let us help you learn how this works, you know, so you can help other people. Because, you know, there's, and I'm sure you're seeing this, you know, the mission field of people that have been involved in this is absolutely huge, you know.
It grows every day.
It grows every day, and Hollywood's, you know, perpetuating it with the movies and shows and everything else that's out there. And we're left to pick up the pieces, you know, to help these people that are the casualties from it. But we can't do it alone. We need the church. We need the church to help us, you know, and help these people.
Well, I believe that was supposed to be the church's mandate. I believe that when we were given the gift of the Holy Spirit in the upper room, it's my personal opinion, this is what I'm teaching right now, that gift of the creative power of Almighty God from the throne room itself wasn't just so that every now and then we could have a miracle and say, yay, rah. We were supposed to go out there and stop the devil and his angels from doing what they're doing. We were supposed to be proactive, not reactive, and now we're at a place where that's not the case. Most churches don't want anything to do with what we're discussing right now, and there are people that have questions. There are people that have questions, and they have needs, And we're taking a proactive response. We're not waiting for someone to be a casualty or to get captured. We're trying to get out in front of the problem.
That's so true. That's so true about the churches, though. I've been kind of what I call church hopping, and I just don't see the spiritual deliverance ministers out there doing what you're doing, and especially Pastor Chris Ward, where are they? That's what I was kind of wondering as I was going from church to church, and I'm talking about my vicinity on Long Island, the eastern part of Long Island, you just don't see it. And I have to tell you, there's a lot of demonic influence over people's lives, and I see it. And I think sometimes I'm a little skittish in saying, listen, you have a demon in you, and I feel as though I should be a little more upfront, a little more forward, because that is part of helping people, depending on however their reaction is to, to how you tell them that, that's up to the Lord, and that's up to them, and if they want to help. But I've seen a lot of demonic influences over people's lives, and I just say to myself, well, we can continue to pray about certain things, but he called us to go out and casting out demons. He called us to do that, but I don't see that anywhere in church today, and it's a little scary, because now you're allowing for that influence to an infiltration to grow stronger within the body, and you're actually gonna see what I saw, which is more, you see jealousy, and you see more discord and hatred for one another. And we all come up with the same excuse, yeah, well, we're human, and we'll get beyond that. But it's going to continue to happen, because there's something else working in your life that you're not attending to. And if I'm hearing different things about people getting into pornography, Christians, these are, people who've been, saved for 12, 15 years or so, and they're getting back into pornography. Well, this is a spirit of pornography that's getting into their life. There's stuff that out there that can be thwarted, that can be resolved by not just attending to the person's spirit, but by asking them, are you comfortable with having a deliverance session? Because I believe you have a spirit of pornography in you, and I would hope that person would be willing to say, yes, let's sit down and do this. And you've had this. Or did you say over 300 deliverance sessions or so?
Uh-huh.
Wow. So you are well aware of how the devil is working in the church today, and I would assume that some of these people were Christian.
strangely enough, the majority of them were.
Yes. Okay. I was going to get to that, but I just wanted to be sure that you said.
The majority of them were. And here's what I think it is. And as we've gotten further and further away from the period of the Lord's resurrection, the book of Acts, and everything that man has added to the church, we've gotten away from the basics. And I think what has happened is there are a lot of people that think sitting in a church makes them a Christian. And there are a lot of people that have made mouth confessions, but they've never given their heart over to the Lord. So what I see is a series of problems within the church. But from what, you were saying is, from my experiences, the front-on, head-on confrontation didn't work with me. But one of the things I do when I talk to the youth is I get them to come to the realization, and I take them through this little process. Who are you made in the image of? And they'll all say God. Who is Jesus, the Son of God? Who kicked Satan out of heaven? God. Who defeated Satan on the cross of Calvary? Jesus. And all of a sudden I watch the bulbs go off in their head. Wait, if I'm made in the image of God and I accepted Jesus, and when Satan looks at me, he hates me.
Yeah.
They all hate you. So if they hate you and you're walking outside your house and these things want to do harm to you, shouldn't you be proactive against that? I mean, if you lived in Arizona and the indigenous threat are snakes or scorpions, aren't you conscious of the indigenous threat? Well, in our spiritual world, we have an indigenous threat. Why aren't we dealing with that?
Well, it's,
good point.
Yeah, very good point.
You know, and I think if we present it that way, a lot of people don't want to talk about demons, which amazes me. They'll talk about aliens. They'll accept ghosts. They'll accept all these things. But the minute you talk about the devil or fallen angels or that kind of thing, demons, they don't understand that. And I'm like, well, how do you not understand that? You believe in God. You believe in angels. There is a devil. The Bible tells us there are demons. The Bible tells us there are other religions that accept that fact. But people don't want to talk about that. And then the media tells you that they're okay. We have vampires with a soul, which is an oxymoron. We have demons that are good and are heroes, which again is another contradiction in terms. But that's the slow indoctrination. For me, in the 50s and 60s, it was Casper the Friendly Ghost. And everybody laughs when I say this, but think about what I'm saying to you. Casper is a friendly ghost. I'm sorry. There is no such thing. I'm not one of those people in the paranormal world that says that there are people that are good and they're good ghosts. That's not the truth. My philosophy, and if you go to my team's website, I have a team called SRT, which is Supernatural Response Team. Our motto is, if it's not in heaven, it belongs in hell. And if it's in the outer darkness awaiting judgment, it needs to stay there. And so that's the position we take. These are not ghosts. This is not your Aunt Sally come to see you and tell you how much they love you. We have one of two problems. If it is your Aunt Sally, she's not in heaven. And if it's not, it's something else.
Right.
Very good. Richard, we had a talk the other night, and you brought up a couple really good, interesting points that I'd like you to bring up here, too. And it's the aspect, and I know you and your team work in this area from when you talked about it, but the aspect of the enemy claiming territorial areas.
Mm-hmm.
That need to be reclaimed for Christ. I mean, they're causing havoc in certain areas that they claim as territories. I mean, we understand that from Ephesians 6, you know, principalities, powers, you know. So they're claiming areas, and we've seen that in Scripture too. And you've encountered this in your ministry.
Yeah, it was actually one of those accidental divine occurrences where the Lord gives you a nugget and he draws you. He doesn't give you the whole thing. He's a tremendous teacher. He pulls you to a knowledge of the truth. It starts when you look at his encounter with the Gadarene man, and as he's about to cast out legion, he does a couple of things there that are very profound. First, he says, "What is your name?" Now, being the Lord, he knew who he was dealing with. When they said, "We are legion," In the Hebrew, I think name is Sham, and in the Greek it's Unama, and both of those constitute authority. Basically what he was saying is, what is your authority? Whenever I've done deliverances, if I can get the spirit to give me its name, it's over. It's giving me its authority. It's like when I worked at a health club in New York, and if you were in town, I'd say, go to the front desk, tell them you're a friend of Richard Grund's, and they'll let you in. So you were getting into the club on my authority. Well, the Lord's given us that authority. The second thing he did with the Gadarene man was, as he was about to cast them out, they said, "What? Don't cast us out of the area." Why not? Must have been something to the fact that that was their area of power. That was their area of responsibility. There was the worship of Apollo in that area. So that was the beginning of the digging. And then the Lord showed me that the reason most of these cleansings, as people call them, don't work, is they're not dealing with the geographical power before they deal with what's going on in the house. So we take authority over a series of things. First the town, then the land that the problem sits on, then the house, and then the people. So basically what we do is, it's like closing a hole. We pull the outward in until it closes. And we also know the territorial aspect from Daniel waiting for the angel to bring its message to him, where he said, "Well, I had to fight for 3 weeks to get past the prince of Persia, and finally had to ask Michael, the prince of Israel, to restrain him so that I could get to you." That's another clue. These things have areas of control. They have areas that they come and go. When you look at the Bible collectively, you begin to see things and say, well, wait a second. If that's what's shown us in the Bible, why aren't we applying that? We need to take things back. Most of America, you know, somebody asked me the other day, wow, a lot of your cases are up in New England. What's up with that? Well, we had a lot of witchcraft in New England, but we also have a lot of something else. We have a lot of blood in the ground.
We killed a lot of Indians. We had a lot of fighting. There was a lot of evil going on, and it has imprinted itself on the geographic area. And if you don't deal with that, whatever problem you think you got rid of will come back.
You know, I got to share with you my experience with this. You know, when I first came on board as a UFO researcher investigator, I was an agnostic for the first couple of years that I entered into this field here in Brevard County by the Space Center. Then I became involved in the New Age and actually preaching New Age, you know, not just studying it and following it myself. But we had lots of activity that I had to follow up with on investigations for UFO activity in this area for those years that I was involved in the ungodly side of this. But, you know, when I became to be a true believer and gave my life to Jesus Christ, I didn't get any more calls for UFO reports that were supernatural in nature. Of course, you had people that had misidentifications, and they wanted to report them, but they were easy to uncover a misidentification. But I no longer had reports come to me that were supernatural in nature. And I had to go back and look at that, and I go, and you know what? I reclaimed this territory for Christ. And the enemy, when I put myself and I keep myself in that position, you know, because I'm still a MUFON investigator, when I'm the contact that people have to come to tell their story, I'm going to listen to their story, but I'm also going to take my MUFON hat off when I'm done listening to them and give them the truth. Well, the enemy's not going to allow that to happen. And the only way he can keep that from happening is not to have any more supernatural sightings. So it's amazing. What you're saying is absolutely correct. You can reclaim that territory for Christ. And I've seen it happen. So I was fascinated when I heard you talking about that the other night.
And this has been around for a while. People call it spiritual mapping. But here's where I think the mistake was, and this is just my opinion, so I don't want to offend anybody out there. There are a lot of people that I went out there and said, oh, we're going to take this whole town, or we're going to take this whole geographical area. Well, how about just taking your home? How about just taking your families? How about just taking your church and then getting everybody in your church to take your home, their home? But what happens is those dots begin to spread, and it begins to move outward. And so before you know it, you've taken that whole territory without going after the whole territory at the same time, because the enemy is going to resist that. And I've seen the carnage of taking on those things and either not being called to do it or not being prepared to do it. But let's get our homes in order first. Let's get our churches in order before we start talking about taking the city for the Lord.
Absolutely.
Richard, you had discussed some things and parts of your testimony that referred to having difficulty getting breakthroughs in the demonic, demonic influences over people's lives. And this was, I think, fairly young in your ministry. If you could just go into that a little bit about how you mentioned kind of blame.
You're talking about how long it, when I realized that they were taking 4 and 5 hours of struggle. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that was early in the, after I got saved in October of 88, I was still living in New York and actually making good money as an actor and as a bodyguard, but decided I needed to be with my family and moved down to Tallahassee, Florida, and my pastor and mentor put me in charge of this church's deliverance ministry, which was a couple of thousand member church. And there was a period where we did 6 or 7, 8 in a week, and I was exhausted. And I went home one night and just cried out to the Lord, what's wrong with this picture? These sessions are taking 4 and 5 hours, and it's very, you know, we're trying to hold the person down, and you're just exhausted. And I look in the Bible, and it says, in that very moment, or in that very hour, it was gone. And he just spoke to me clearly. The Lord speaks, and he speaks to me the way I understand. He just said, son, you hate demons more than you love people. You're doing this to punish the demons for what they did to you. You're not doing this because you love people. And I asked him to help me to do that. And the very next session we did was with a husband and wife that drove down from Alabama. And they didn't even believe in what we were doing, but she was at her wit's end, and she was a person who struggled with, that time they called it split personality, now it's bipolar, but she was also violent. The only way they could control her rage and everything was they had electrodes in the base of her brain. But that was starting to wear off, and she was desperate because she was having thoughts about killing her children. And we went into the conference room at the church. It was a Saturday morning. I looked at her, and I saw her with the love of the Lord. I saw her with compassion, and that compassion filled me. And she walked out of there 45 minutes later free. She unhooked those electrodes, went to the doctor, and they cleared her. She was never needed it again. From that point on, I see people with his eyes. I was telling somebody the other day, we've been breaking down the New Testament, and I realize now that when Stephen was about to be stoned, and he said, I see the Lord standing up. And anybody who knows Hebrew culture, when a Hebrew king stands up, he's about to do one of two things. He's about to act or he's about to issue an edict. And he said, Lord, do not impute upon them this sin. And he said that out of love for them because he knew if they died at that moment, they would never get saved. And when you look at Paul and Peter and all the admonitions that everybody think is, oh, it's fire and brimstone and he's preaching hell. No. They're doing that out of love because they don't want to see the people go there. And if you minister out of the love of the Lord, you will see his compassion and power fill you in such a way. I've seen people get set free from a hug. I've seen them get set free from just being told how much their Heavenly Father loves them. No ritual. One thing I do not do is there is no ritual in what I do. There is no plan. There is no book. I don't hold anybody down. I don't have to hold anybody down. The Lord gave us spoken authority, and people get set free by the fact that he hung on a cross. So that they could have salvation.
Sorry. Amen. And, well, there are a lot of people who are going to be listening to the show, who don't know the Lord and, who are interested in the, let's say, for lack of a better term, Casper, the friendly ghost.
Right.
There's part of your testimony going back to Casper that you mentioned that you were into witchcraft, but you called it kind of white witchcraft. I mean,
yeah, now they would call it Wicca. Now they call it Wicca, but when mm-hmm. I was growing up, it was white witchcraft. That meant you know, you didn't lay curses, you used the elements, you did things for the good, not Satanism and not for the dark. And my joke about that is, if you think white witchcraft and Satanism are two different things, that's like getting into a car from two different doors and thinking you're in a different car. You're in the same car and the same person's driving.
Yes, I see that, and it's so true, because you're just, it's fire fighting fire. It's no different from psychics who are asked to go cleanse a house.
Right.
You know, it's all coming from the same source. They're working with each other here. And it's interesting, because sometimes I think, are they actually competing with one another when they do this sometimes, or are they just kind of tag teaming, you know? But yes, listen, for those out there who just are new to this whole angle, this is all coming from the same source. The Bible says the whole world is under the control of the evil one. And Satan's been kind of given a title deed to the earth right now. And it's for a reason. Everything's for a purpose. Everything's done for a reason. We've been cursed. All fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. So there is a curse to put upon the land, but God allows Satan to do certain things for a reason, and it is to test us. But I believe that there's a deeper meaning behind it, because God is all knowing. He knows the future. He knows your heart better than you do. This is really a test for ourselves to see where our hearts are toward God, and it's so important to understand what He does in our lives. And what it means with having a relationship with the Lord and Savior and the Creator of this universe, because that is what's going to bring you to true fulfillment in your life. And I am a true testimony of that. Richard is a testimony of that. Joe is as well. My life is fulfilled. I don't need anything else in my life. I am grateful for anything that comes into my life and is, you know, put before me, because I give thanks for everything now. Because I know the Lord. I know Him. I knew of the Lord at one point because I was a Roman Catholic, just as just as Richard was. And you know, I just I went to church. I did my 45 minutes. I had my fast food, and then I went home and I did whatever I wanted. But I never gave thought about why I'm here, why my body functions the way it does, and that I'm looking at a miracle every time I look in the mirror. And anytime I face another person and I'm talking with them, it never occurred to me. You know, I never took that time to think and seek. And that's what Scripture tells us to do. That's what His Word tells us to do, is to seek His kingdom and His righteousness first, above all things. Just going into four walls is not what's going to bring you to knowing Him. This is what's in your heart. So, Richard, you, like I said before, you had our testimonies are very similar. I grew up, looking spiritual. I was always spiritual, but there was part of me that was always kind of quiet, and I considered myself kind of nerdy, you know, growing up and, you know, going through grammar school and middle school. And, you know, there were points where I turned to the occult. I turned to the occult for strength, for power. And I realized shortly after that was a big mistake, because what was going on in my life afterward was just stuff that could bring me to death, not only physically, but spiritually. And I remember part of your testimony saying that you too kind of were looking for some kind of power, something to strengthen you in a way.
Well, I wanted to feel good about myself. I didn't like myself. My father walked out when I was six. I had a wonderful mother that raised both my sister and I, but, you know, I came from a broken family before that was normal, as if that's really normal. But even the youth today, whether it's the youth today or the youth 50 years ago, we were created to be supernatural. It was that sin in the garden that stopped that from happening. So we are innately supernatural. And if the church doesn't fill that need, our youth and our young adults and people are going to find it elsewhere. And the devil's very glad to fill that. And, you know, I did a lot of things in the occult. And my half-hearted joke was, if I was God, I'd have hit me with a lightning bolt a long time ago, because I broke most of the supernatural rules that He laid out for us. But His grace was sufficient that He saved me. But I've done more for the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of God than I ever did in the kingdom of darkness. And if we don't feel that need, if we don't tell them that there's this experience over here when you fall in love with Jesus and you give your life over to Him, then how are they going to know? And they're going to go look for that elsewhere. Whether it's through the movies, whether it's through the Ouija boards or the tarot cards or the paranormal ghost hunting, which is completely out of control and is creating havoc and causing more problems that even some of the original founders of that movement are starting to admit, we have a problem here. This is out of control. People are getting afflicted. They're getting oppressed. They're getting suicidal from what they're doing, and they don't know how to get set free from it. Well, I do. There's a bloody cross, there's an empty tomb, and there's an upper room, and it was all done through the name of Jesus.
Yep. And we can all testify to that. We've been where these people are just beginning to go. And that's why we do this show, is to bring these testimonies like yourself and like myself and like Greg. We've all been there. Even Byron had been there. You know, we've been on the dark side. We know what it's like. We know how much we were deceived. You know, we were all on that quest for enlightenment, and I tell you never reach the end of the quest. Not until you come to the true Jesus Christ, and then that quest is over. But you know what? You have to come to Him to know that.
That's right. That's right. And I know there is a lot of demonic influences out there that are giving that doubt in people's hearts, that are making us look crazy. There are specific assignments for these demons that will bring people to just looking at you like you're crazy. It's like a little voice in the back of someone's head
They're co-joined with their spirit. That's telling them that that's crazy. That that's crazy. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. I'm sure this is what they're doing. We can't just dismiss certain things just because someone is saying something that is out of the ordinary. I don't know that I did that, but I know there are a lot of people who do, because I'm looked at as being crazy just for saying certain things. But I pray. I pray for these people. I know there are certain, there's a passage of scripture where Jesus said, there's a certain demon that can only come out through prayer and fasting. And I believe there, you know, the power of prayer is very powerful, though, there is a difference. I do believe there is a difference between casting out and prayer. Prayer is directed toward God, and casting out and a demon is directing everything toward the devil himself and toward that demon. So I don't know where your thoughts are on that, Richard, as being the deliverance minister.
Well, you know, it's funny as I was just thinking about what you were just about to say. People would introduce me as a deliverance minister, and I would say, no, I'm not. I'm a Jesus minister. And one aspect of his ministry was deliverance. And I see people that are, oh, well, I'm a demon. They say, well, you're a demonologist. No, I'm not. Well, you're an exorcist. No, I'm not. I'm just doing what Jesus said to do. And if you look at it historically, you know that exorcists were not a part of the Hebrew culture except in the Kabbalah. That was a Mesopotamian thing.
Sure.
What we do is through the power and the authority of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who has changed all supernatural authority. And when people say, oh, that's not the truth, and I say, really? Then how come after Jesus died on the cross and the early church began, almost all those other religions died? Those gods disappeared. They ran and hid because there was a new sheriff in town. There was a new authority in town. And they ran and hid. Now, unfortunately, because the church has abdicated that authority, all those guys are coming back and going, hey, I can have those people back. And they're taking them. But if we were living the gospel instead of trying to preach it or hit people in the head with the Bible, if we were living the gospel, if we were living testimonies, if we were living lights out there in the darkness, darkness would have to run. Somebody gave me this example a long time ago. When you walk into a darkened room, and you turn on your light. Light dispels the darkness. The darkness doesn't push in the light. The light pushes away the darkness. So if we just took our testimonies out into the street, meaning living it, showing people love, being like, I mean, I've had people that are really in the demonic, have nothing, want nothing to do with Jesus, and they'll look at me and they'll go, there's something, what is it about you? There's something different about you. And that gives me the opportunity to tell them my testimony. And if it's their day of salvation, it'll happen. But if not, I planted a seed, somebody else will harvest.
Richard, you have a website, and yes. That is onsolomonsporch.org.
Yes.
And now, tell me a little bit about Solomon's Porch, if you would, why you started the website with that name.
The concept of Solomon's Porch was where the early church used to meet and then go into people's homes. And they would fellowship on a daily basis. Solomon's Porch is a very powerful place in the history. It's where Jesus stood up and said, I am the light of the world. But it was where the church began. And my goal is to try to get us back to our roots. Let's get back to our roots. Our roots was to love the Lord, our God, with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And then to get out there and just be what we were supposed to be. The signs of the Messiah, where are they? The lame are supposed to walk. The blind is supposed to see. Deaf is supposed to hear. The dead is supposed to be raised. And deliverance is supposed to be given to the captives. So that was the goal behind Solomon's Porch. Let's get back to basics. You know, I use this example. If your computer gets really messed up and you can't fix it anymore, you got to start over. You got to reboot it. Well, I'm calling for a reboot of the church. I think we need to reboot what we call church. Because we're running out of time, and there are people out there that need to get saved and set free.
That is for sure.
And you have an online Bible study.
Right. I do that on Wednesdays at 7:30. And if anybody wants to participate, just write
the porch at onsolomonsporch.org. Let me know that you want to participate, and I'll send them the links. But, you know, I'm hoping that we can spread a fire. There's some dry wood out there. There's people, like you said, that yourself, you said you're church hopping. And the first thing I would say to that is, don't forget, you're the church. You're just looking for a building where you can fellowship with others, whether that's in your living room or whether that's in a really nice place with a parking lot. Wherever it is that two or more gather, there also is the Lord. And if he's there, that's holy ground. And if that's holy ground, you don't need to be anyplace else. But if we can start a fire and start turning on the lights, I won't have to be traveling all over the country with my team trying to help people who are in a life or death situation. It'll just happen by itself.
And you have a radio show or two radio shows?
What we're in the process of doing, I'm co-hosting a show for WCAN Radio called Phenomenon, where regular people with real stories about the supernatural and the paranormal come on. And now we're going to be doing another show called Reflections in the Dark, where we're going to turn the light of the Holy Spirit and the Word into the shadows, and we're going to start exposing things that are out there. We're going to start stepping on some toes, so to speak, and just saying, you know what, let's draw a line in the sand. This is not of God, and we need to talk about it. Just like it was done for me, I'm going to do it for others. I'll do it in love. I'm willing to listen, as Joe said, but when I'm done listening, I'm going to speak the truth. And so that's what we're going to start doing.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
You know, Greg, when I was talking to Richard the other night, I made a comment on an observation that I made, and he grabbed on it real quick. Is there was a book that I read when I was younger in college when I was studying political science, and I brought it back out here just recently and started looking at it, and I could see that this has a correlation. This book has a correlation with the way the enemy's working in its back. And it was a book that was written hundreds of years ago. It's called The Art of War. And I do believe that the enemy is absolutely behind putting that book together. But that Chinese man that wrote that. And I've started looking back at that book and looking at, you know, the way that this was written and the tactics that can be used in The Art of War. And it's identical to what the enemy's using today and probably has been using all along. And Richard and his group are very familiar with that, The Art of War. Also, because Richard, you said you had a background in martial arts too, also.
Correct.
And, I think that's something that, you know, that was so fascinating to see that, you know, the enemy is boastful and the enemy has ego and he puts out there exactly what he plans on doing and most of us just ignore it or, you know, we're taught that he's not really there, you know, he's not real, and that's one of the things that is talked about in that book, you know. It's
right.
Just fascinating.
And I don't understand that. Maybe somebody could explain that. In First Peter, he tells us that there is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and that word devour in the Greek means to tear apart, violently tear apart. He's basically saying that the enemy, Satan, his fallen angels, all the demonic offspring, they are out there looking to tear somebody apart, and if that person is you, then they're going to do it. I mean, those nature shows where they show you the lion or the jackal pouncing on the tribe, the animals, they always go for the weakest, the slowest, or the oldest, but they get somebody.
Sure.
And that's what Peter's saying to us, is that there's something out there that wants to destroy you, but you've been given all authority in heaven and earth. Now let's enforce it, and let's protect the little ones who just got saved, who don't understand anything we're talking about right now. Who's out there protecting them?
Right. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. If we want to continue on with this, that's fine. We can. Our live listeners will be shut off from the live stream. I just want to thank you, Richard, for coming on with us today and just sharing your testimony, because it's a very powerful one, and we can maybe have you on again once.
I would like that. That'd be great. I'd be blessed to do it.
Okay. That would be great.
Let's plan this for another show. I think there's a lot more that Richard can share with us and share with the listeners out there. It's very powerful stuff.
Yeah, I think you hit on it when you said about taking care of your children. like, you know, even now, my boys are 27 and 22. Today's my 23-year-old birthday, and I still cover them every morning. I still consider myself the high priest of my home, and I, first thing in the morning, I cover them, I cover my family, and I cover them at the end of the night. If we could get that back in the homes, if we could get that Jewish concept of the priest of the home, we'd have less casualties, we'd have less problems. Instead of expecting, oh, my pastor's praying for me, or so-and-so is going to pray for me. Well, how about you praying for your kids?
That'd be
great if we could talk about that and get people to start being proactive. That's my thing. Instead of being reactive, which is after the fact, let's be proactive and see if we can stop it before it happens.
We teach them empowerment, which I don't believe is being taught in the manner that it should be. You know, I hear a lot of sermons where they're constantly beating up the people in the church. You know, they don't let them get past being a miserable sinner. Well, you know, that same book tells us that there is a way to defeat this enemy. You know, and it's right there, but it's not being taught like it should be. I don't see an empowered Christian out there, as many as we should be seeing.
No.
You know, I don't believe the empowerment's being taught the way it should be. And that's what I do, is I teach people empowerment. The one thing that seems to be missing in their lives as believers. And once they can understand that it's there, it was given for them to use, that changes their life.
Exactly. Go ahead.
No, again, I was just going to say that definitely is something that needs to be understood, because the days are getting darker. You know, it says in Isaiah 60, "Though I shine the light, the light shall come. A deep darkness covers the earth, but the light shall arise upon you." And, you know, basically I say, you're going to become a beacon. You're going to become a lighthouse in this darkness. And people are going to come to you, and you better have some answers. You better be able to tell them why you believe and tell them how to survive, because the Lord said the days of Noah are coming back. And I don't think anybody, you know, I know some people understand that, but the church at large really doesn't understand the depth of what he said when he said the days of Noah.
No, it does not. No. And it's a little scary, to be honest with you, because you're talking about the majority of the church not seeing what is coming. I mean, he said, look up, for your redemption is nigh.
Now, let me, are we still recording this? Because people get this. If not, I'll tell it again, but yes. I'm sure it was you too.
Yes, we are still recording.
Okay, I've had a series of what we call open visions in my life, three or four, not a lot, in my walk, you know, where life is still going on, your eyes are open, but you're someplace else. And this one was actually in front of a group of people at a meeting. And one minute I was there, and the next minute I was walking with the Lord, and we were walking through a field. And I realized when I looked down that I was stepping on bodies. And I began to cry, and I said, Lord, what is that? And he said, that's my church. He said, they're not prepared for what's coming. They're not prepared for the carnage, and I want you to tell them. And when I came out of this vision, everybody that was there was like in my face. They were waiting, what happened? What happened? Where'd you go? And I couldn't even talk. I began to sob because I realized the sheep that were going to be slaughtered and led to the slaughter, because either the worthless shepherds or there were no sheepdogs on duty. And I believe we're there. I believe what he was showing me back in 92 and 93 is where we are right now.
I do believe we are very close, to his return, but obviously it's going to get darker before it gets brighter. And, it's very, very scary to see the church in such a way. So there are people, we're sounding alarms. I do listen to a gentleman, Dana Smith, who calls himself the Watchman. He's here on Blog Talk Radio. Obviously, Joe and his team, E4 Research, and, a guy Malone, I mean, sounding the alarm in such a way about the alien abduction phenomenon. But, I mean, this phenomenon itself has a big role in the end times. And a major deception is coming. Major deception. I see it.
Well, I don't know if you've seen it, but my son just pointed this out to me today. If you're watching, since I come out of the movie industry, I pay attention to what's going on. Right now, there are about four or five trailers out there for movies about hybrids, about human-alien or human-animal hybrids. That indoctrination is beginning, just like the indoctrination with the demonic and vampires and that, and then the aliens, now we're being indoctrinated with the hybrids. There's a master plan here. That they're going to desensitize people, so when all of that happens, people will accept it.
That's right. That's right. As a matter of fact, Pastor Mike Hoggard, MikeHoggard.net.com, he had just put out another blog regarding that very, very topic, which was very good blog. He does video blogs, so I believe it's about probably a little over an hour and a half or so. But he was talking about that specifically, and I was taking some notes because he was going into scripture, into Deuteronomy, regarding, the Lord and how he's against this. There's new things surfacing in science regarding, I guess they called it Cynthia. They're now taking different kinds of cells, pertaining to stem cell research and whatnot, and thinking what they can do with this information and DNA structure and how it can be used, or experimented with. And, you know, these are some of the things that are spoken of or mentioned in Deuteronomy and how the Lord is completely against this. I was taking down some of these notes and, I couldn't believe how much, information and technology has just really sprouted in the last 30, 40 years. You know, it's incredible. And what we're doing now is actually what Satan was doing way back when, regarding the serpent. I mean, if you go into Genesis chapter 3, you can see that, he was talking completely against creating this so-called serpent. And how he says, it was more crafty. The serpent was more crafty than anything the Lord God had made. So that in itself should show us that even back then, Satan was manipulating different genes and genetics, whatever, you know, and doing different things with hybridization. He was doing
it. Yeah. Yeah, we talked, Joe and I talked about that Genesis chapter 6, 3-6. It's a lost part of the church. But I think Joe can confirm this. Whatever they're telling us now, scientifically, they're way past that.
Oh, sure.
Sure.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Which is frightening.
And one of those, I just brought up the notes now, is in, it wasn't Deuteronomy, I'm sorry. It was Leviticus in 19:19. Keep my decrees. Do not mate different kinds of animals. Do not plant your field with two kinds of seed. That in itself should tell us that anything that we are doing scientifically in the science realm, is just, you're looking for judgment, you know. You're doing something completely against what the Lord God wants us to do. So we should have no part in it whatsoever. Leviticus 18:23-26, do not have sexual relations with an animal, defile yourself. Well, you know, and goes on so far, you know, that's, you know, more along the lines of bestiality. It says, do not defile yourselves in any of these ways, because this is how the nations that I am going to drive out before you became defiled. It's not really going to change much if we continue doing what he's against. I mean, we're looking for judgment upon this nation. We're looking for judgment upon anybody who goes down this path. So, disconcerting, and it's unfortunate because he looks at other, he kind of looks at one group of people. I know we are past that. I mean, we are there with through Christ, and those who are in Christ, there's now no condemnation in the book of Romans. But for those who don't have the Lord, it's a very scary, scary thing. And I've learned to fear the Lord through my walk, and it becomes more rewarding having that personal relationship. It really does.
Amen.
Yeah. And I know you guys can attest to that.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
you know, that the scripture I'd like to have people look at is where he said that, you know, he would bring us life so that we would have it more abundantly. You know, and so many of the misteachings out there about prosperity Christianity, when that's not it at all. Just having a true relationship with Jesus Christ, no matter what's happening in your life, if things are just absolutely falling apart, you absolutely have life more abundantly than if you had him not. Right. You know, I mean, it's not about having, you know, special things or, you know, a great job and a big house and lots of money and all of that. That's wrong teaching. You know, it's just having that true relationship. That's what does it.
And if you don't have that, you know, you don't have anything.
You don't have anything. You know, and I've had people that have been so hooked on that prosperity Christianity teaching, and I say, you know, it sounds all real good, but how would you share that with the poor Christian in the Sudan who's having his family, you know, killed in front of him for just being a Christian? You know, how do you share that with him? You know, and he still keeps his faith. He keeps his faith because he has a personal relationship, not because he has a bunch of things.
Right. Well, the Lord told us at the end that the just would live by faith. Well, how does that fit then? If towards the end the just are going to live by faith, then that means you're not going to have all those things. And if you do, you're only meant to, like the manna, you're not meant to keep it. You're either meant to have enough for one day or give it away. We're supposed to be conduits of the blessings, but that's part of the reason why we are where we are right now. There's a tainted gospel being preached. Which gets me back to why I'm saying, well, let's reboot. Let's get back to basics. Let's figure out what is this? What are the four gospels? What's the book of Acts? What are the letters? How do they work together? And I've had some amazing revelations. I'm excited about this teaching because it's shown me things I never saw before. But, and that's again why we really need to start telling the people about the love of the Lord. So I would, yeah, I'd be glad to come back at another time and we can continue to shine the light on Satan's lies.
That would be great.
Love to have you back.
It would be a blessing.
And I'm going to have to check out your Bible study you do too, Richard. It sounds great.
Yeah, and I was telling Greg, I'm trying to figure out. I've been using an online webinar place, but we've had some technical problems because I let people listen and then I let them interact. And when we had the home fellowship in Tallahassee, I'll tell this real quick and then I got to go, is we would have people come in, they fellowship, then we'd talk, we'd share prayer requests and announcements, we'd get into praise and worship, and then we'd get into the Word, and then we would eat together, and then people would take whatever word they just got and begin to share and minister to one another. And so I'm trying to bring that back where you don't sit in a pew and have somebody else feed you, and bring back the priesthood of the believer, where we're all supposed to be, you know, kings and priests and serve our God.
That's right. That's great. It's wonderful what you're doing, because I was looking for something like this for a while. It was an online Bible study. And here it is, you know. So I'm definitely going to have to check this out. And I'm going to be keeping in touch with you. I have your Skype ID. Maybe that's another option that you can use, is Skype. Get these people all connected, but I don't know.
Yeah, you can do conference calling on Skype without a problem.
Right.
Yeah, well, we've been doing that. I'll tell you what the problems with that are. I don't want to make anybody at Skype angry, but there are some limitations. But I'm gonna, you know what? I have not allowed it to stop me. I've dug my heels in. The Bible says, "When having done all, stand." I'm gonna stand. We're gonna get this word out, and we're gonna help set the captives free.
Great.
There you go.
Awesome.
That's the
great
key.
Job. Great job.
Well, gentlemen. Richard, we thank you for a wonderful show, and we look forward to having you on again. And I look forward to meeting you, being you're here in my neighborhood. And we'll do dinner one night and get together and talk over a lot of this stuff. And I'd love to be able to have you as a soldier on my right or on my left, you know, or one to watch my back, and I can watch yours.
I'd love to meet
the rest of your group, too.
I'm in Orlando. He's over here in Cocoa Beach, 45 minutes, an hour away. I'd be glad to. In fact, I've already told my guys about you and about Guy and about what your people are doing. And that's what we do. You know, I don't tell everybody that they should do what I do. I'm called to do what I do. I was born to do what I do for the kingdom. I learned all of Satan's lies, all of his tricks. I got to move in his kingdom, and then God took me and planted me in his. And I've even had demons tell me and people tell me they hate you because the master told you everything and you betrayed him. Well, so what?
Yep.
So, you know, but we're called to do what we do, and we do it in love, and we do it for the Lord. So we're ready.
Awesome. All right.
All right.
Well, thank you again, Greg, for a wonderful show.
Well, thank you, guys. And, you know, you make it what it is. And thank you for coming on Memorial Day. And we'll be talking again soon. We'll be keeping in touch, all of us. So,
Sure.
Praise God.
God bless.
All right. Good night, guys.